What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Shanae Alexander, host of Press Send, a podcast and, more importantly, a safe and hilarious place for candid conversations about the scary, funny, heartbreaking, but always intriguing questions that make us all human. Each week, me and a new best friend you haven't met yet field your questions across any and all topics and offer our take on the matter. With plenty of humor, heart, and badassery along the way. We launch a new episode of Press Send every Wednesday. We'll see you there.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real. Okay, if you're a volley nerd, I know you are losing your mind right now, knowing we are about to hear from one of the greatest liberos of all time. And in my personal opinion, dare I say the best? I mean, Morgan Hentz is just that libero everyone looks at like, how? Like, how are you that good? She's insane. If you are not a volleyball nerd or volley person, just know this is definitely a volley nerd episode, and this guest today is unreal in the volleyball community. She is a three-time NCAA Division I champion, three-time, a three-time Pac-12 champion, three-time ABCA All-America first team, three-time Pac-12 Libero of the Year, so we were actually liberos in the same conference, and a three-time All-Pac-12 conference winner. And also, this is me cutting it short. Like, if you freaking Google Morgan Hentz, the list of accomplishments is insane. It could be a whole podcast episode, but you get the gist. She's unreal. Today, we're going to get to hear from Morgan herself, learn more about what is she like, what's her game mentality like. It was so fun to sit down and pick the brain of a true goat. Before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to Stormy22. Hey, Stormy. She left a 5-star review for Real Pod saying, best influencer ever. I followed you through USC volleyball seasons and have followed you on Instagram. I watched your YouTubes, but I feel like your podcast has helped me since its start. I train every single day during my daily lifts and I listen to your podcast the whole time. All I have to say is thank you for being so transparent with your experience and so open to sharing every single thing. Stormy, thank you so much for this review. I so appreciate it. I chose this one because we've got a great athlete interview for you today. So as you're doing your lift, girl, I'm thinking of you. I'm rooting for you. And thanks for tuning in. If you want to leave a rating and review for the show, you can do that over on iTunes or you can click the star buttons on Spotify. It is so helpful for the show and I love hearing from you. Thank you sincerely for taking the time to listen every single week. I so appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get that automatic download every single Wednesday. And without further ado, let's dive into this episode with the one and only Morgan Hentz. It is so nice to meet you. I don't think we've ever actually spoken.
No, I don't think we have either. Just played across the volleyball net from each other.
I know, which is wild because you feel like you know someone from just like scouting them. And I know you played with some girls who played at SC back in the day and stuff. So it's such a small world, but thank you for agreeing to come on the show. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thanks for inviting me to come on. I love what you're doing and it's really exciting how much it's taken off.
Oh my God. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I kind of want to get the whole story, even just dating back to like what got you into the sport of volleyball. I get the vibe that you're an extreme athlete. So I feel like you could have kind of put all those skills anywhere. How long had you been playing volleyball? Had you always been playing? And kind of why did you choose that sport?
Yeah. So when I was growing up, my parents just called me a monkey and they were like, okay, we need to get her exhausted so she gets sleep at night. So they put me in a bunch of different sports. So I played volleyball, soccer, basketball, swimming, diving, growing up. And then some of my friends in sixth or seventh grade were like, you should try club volleyball. It's this really cool thing. Like you get to travel and compete in these big tournaments. And they were my best friends at the time. So I'm like, yeah, I want to be around you more. So I tried club volleyball. At first, I was so bad at it. I didn't understand what was base, what was read, like all this terminology around volleyball. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 10 steps behind everyone else. But just being around friends who like helped me with that and starting to understand the sport more and more made me fall in love with it. And just the connections that I formed through volleyball, like has kept me in the sport for so long. But yeah, that's kind of how I got started with club. Club volleyball kind of took off and I decided that that was a sport I kind of wanted to stick with.
I like find it so hard to imagine you like not being good. I know you're not lying, but I'm like, I feel like you came out the womb, like just sprawling. So what made you choose Stanford? Because you could have gone anywhere.
I think I chose Stanford because there was a great balanced lifestyle with the school. I found things like I really loved the academic side of things. I loved that they had an amazing volleyball program and such a rich history there. But most of all, I loved the girls on the team that were there. When I took my official visit, I was like, these girls are so genuine. They're super kind. Like I could see myself fitting in with them. And I think that was a huge part of my decision, but also just making sure like if something happened, an injury or something in volleyball, like I would still be happy at the school. You know, like volleyball was a way to a great education as well. So it was just a really balanced lifestyle and I could see myself being happy there. So it just seemed like the obvious choice for me, but I think I could have been happy at a lot of other schools as well. But I just, you know, it just seemed like everything clicked there.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not a ton of cons to Stanford. They really like have every box checked. So that makes sense. And what did you major in?
I majored in psychology.
We love the brain. We love the mind. Like, Are you fascinated by mental health, mental illness? Like what realm of psychology?
I had a focus in children's psychology a little bit more, like so developmental psych. But yeah, I've always been fascinated by my entire life. Like my brother, he's autistic. So I've been in that realm a lot in regards to mental health. So yeah, it's just always been a passion of mine. And it took me a while to figure out that psychology was something that I wanted to do in college. But once I started to put the pieces together, I was like, oh, this is a perfect fit for me in my major. But what's nice about Stanford is they don't make you decide your major until your end of your sophomore year. So I had some time to figure that out and take a bunch of different courses, which is great.
That's awesome. And obviously now you're graduated. So did you find that the things that you studied and you learned were not only helpful and like what you wanted to do with your career, but also did you learn a lot about your brother and maybe that relationship too?
Yeah, most definitely. I think the most important thing with psychology is that you just never understand what someone is going through until you ask and have conversations with them. And so it's just best not to assume what someone is going through and just being patient and just having genuine conversations with people and being authentic, I think. And that's what you're all about, which is amazing. Yeah, I think that was like the biggest thing that I took away from studying psych.
It's so true. Like everyone is a human being at the end of the day. And especially nowadays with like cancel culture, it's just tough because everyone's a person. Like even if they're doing something wrong or they don't understand something or you don't agree with it, like they're also a human who wants to be liked and loved and feel seen. Yeah. And that's like what gets us all connected. I will say though, on the surface level, you seem pretty perfect. Like, I don't think I ever saw you like not have a good game. Like maybe in your realm, you felt like it wasn't good. But to the rest of us watching, like, especially being someone your age in your position, I mean, we would be like scouting Washington and watching film of them playing Stanford. And we couldn't even focus on the Washington attackers because, like, or at least me would just be staring at you and like how you were playing defense and how you were serve receiving and just being like, this girl is freaking insane. So on the note of like everyone's going through something and there's always more to uncover, was it always perfect?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm really hard on myself. I feel like I'm bad about carrying my mistakes with me. So when I make an error or miss a dig, miss a pass, like I definitely think about that all the time in my head. And I, you know, I've had to work through that a lot, like letting go of mistakes. Like volleyball is a game of mistakes and you have to let that go in order to like move on and help your team succeed. I am also really nervous before every match. Like my gut is in knots. Like I have really? To, yeah, I usually go through a routine of like writing down things. Like I write stuff out what I'm thinking, just so I'm like, okay, we can go through these steps. Like I go through what you can control. And for me, I always write down like effort, attitude, and focus. Cause those are three things that you can control no matter what happens on the other side of the net or with your teammates. And I don't know why that always kind of calmed me down a little bit. And also like, I always said, do your best, forget the rest. Like why the national anthem was like being sung or being played. I had to repeat that in my head like a billion times before every game, no matter, you know, who we were playing against. And so there were definitely times where I had a bad game and I would be so mad at myself. But I think I remember having a conversation with my dad after a game. I'm like, I played so bad, Dad. I called him. He wasn't at the match, but he watched. He's like, you did fine. You did fine. And I kept complaining. He's like, okay, you got to stop. And I was like, you're being really selfish. And I was like, how dare he say that to me? I was so mad. I think I hung up the phone because I was so pissed. But I think I hung up the phone because I knew he was right. I was thinking a lot about myself rather than like my team successes. Ever since that call, that kind of reframed this, like reframed volleyball for me. It's really the epitome of a team sport. And when you can stop thinking about yourself and more about the team, I think that's how you play better and, you know, play freely.
It is very true that a lot of performance anxiety is, how am I going to play? How did I do? Am I going to get benched? What are my stats? Yeah. What do they think of me? And calling out the fact that the whole narrative is centered around yourself really does point out like, whoa, you know, can we move the light and shift the attention to our teammates, how we can help them, how we can play for them, how we can cover them. And then you're focused less on yourself. And don't you end up playing better when you're focused on others?
Totally. And I think like, even when you're like struggling in a match, but like somebody else is doing well, I came to learn like, okay, let's keep fueling the fire for them. Like, and then maybe I'll get out of my own head in the process of doing that. But yeah, like it's all about, you know, that's one reason why I love volleyball so much. It's like, it's truly a team sport. Like everybody matters on the court, off the court, on the bench. You're a team, you're one unit, and you're all working together. It's not like one person can take over a volleyball match. And I think that's really cool. It's a reason why the sport's so amazing.
I'm so excited to tell you about this very meaningful sponsorship today. RealPod is so lucky to be sponsored by Macy's, and Macy's is making moves to help people and the planet thrive together for a brighter future. Join Macy's in celebrating Earth Month by supporting the Community Schoolyards Project, whose mission is to transform underused blacktop playgrounds into beautiful green spaces. Just round up your next in-store purchase or donate online to the Trust for Public Land. Shop sustainable products and learn more from clean beauty business owners at Macy's.com/purpose. I mean, look, we're all going to be shopping for things here and there anyways. And if you're shopping at Macy's, you can round up your purchase and know that it is going to this amazing, amazing cause. And look, if you're interested in learning more, you can still head to Macy's.com/purpose and you can see before and after photos of this initiative. It is wild to see these quote unquote playgrounds that kids were in to what they get to play in now. It's colorful. There's a play structure. It's really such an amazing cause. So head to Macy's.com/purpose where you can round up your next purchase or donate online or in store to bring more parks to more people. Trust for Public Land has helped revamp more than 280 schoolyards all across the country. That is so many schoolyards and so many kids. It makes my heart warm just to hear it. And how special that you could be a part of it. Okay, if you've ever been in the middle of a workout and your yoga pants just keep slipping down and it's so annoying because you have to keep pulling them up, then keep listening because this is for you. And by the way, I experience that all the time. Well, I used to until I started wearing Booty by Braybance leggings. This company is changing the leggings game with their signature material and inclusive approach. We love that. Kelly Braybance, a fitness instructor and the founder and CEO of Booty by Braybance, had one goal in mind, and that was to create the perfect universal pair of leggings that every woman in the world would want to wear. Fast forward 7 years later, and these one-size Booty by Braybance workout leggings are everywhere. Seen on women of all shapes, sizes, and ages, it's incredible. What I love about them is that they do not slip. Their signature Croco skin material is a must try. I have the Croco skin leggings in black. I love a black legging. They go with everything. And they do not move. And these leggings are totally worth the investment. You can shop now for 15% off using code REALPOD at bootybybraybands.com. That's 15% off. High quality leggings. I mean, that's a steal. And you can shop that now at Booty by Braybance, B-R-A-B-A-N-T-S, bootybybraybance.com, using code REALPOD. Shipping is fast, so if you order today, you are guaranteed to have them by your weekend workouts. I love that. Follow at Booty by Braybance on Instagram and shop online now for 15% off using our exclusive code REALPOD at bootybybraybance.com. Now, from like an outward perspective, it seemed like your performance was always absolutely top notch. How did you fight through like that knot in your stomach and those nerves and that anxiety and not let it keep you from like playing at a certain caliber level? Does that make sense? Like, because when I had performance anxiety, like I was just so afraid, like being served the ball, stepping into a read and being wrong. You know, how did you overcome that and then physically allow yourself to do like what you needed to do in those moments?
I think I'll go back to those three words that I said, like effort. That's like the first step. Did I give it my all on the play? Did I go for the ball even if I think I couldn't get there? Focus, like while the ball is in the air, like am I locked in and making sure I'm trying to look at the right things? And then attitude. Am I being positive? Am I being a good teammate? Am I trying to help the team do whatever is needed to succeed at the highest level. And I think when I gave it my all in those three departments, I can truly say I did my best. I couldn't do anything more. And so like when mistakes happen, like eventually after like reflection, maybe in the moment you're like, darn it, like I really wanted that or I wanted to get that ball. But like reflecting at the end of the day, volleyball is a sport. It's fun, but there's so much more to life too. And I think just putting things in perspective, like, I don't know, that always helped me, I don't know, get past the nerves and get past that performance anxiety. And then also just talking to teammates about it. Like so many girls in my class, I would say I had two really great friends. So I would talk about how nervous I was. And I think just even saying it aloud, like helped me feel better. I'm like, oh, I don't have to bottle that up inside and like keep it to myself. It's okay to talk about that with others.
Did you feel like any of that pressure stemmed from just how much hype there was like around you? I mean, with every single award you had won, like, you know, year after year, like keeping that standard. I mean, people would literally go to games to watch you. And that doesn't happen for liberos. How did that affect you going into these games? And did it add like extra stress?
Yeah, I would say my focus was always on like, I wanted to win so badly. And usually I was trying to think about that the most, but I think I would be lying if I said I didn't have those other things in the back of my like, oh, I didn't get more than 10 digs this game or something like that. And I had to continually remind myself, hey, that's not really important. One of the biggest things was actually like social media. So like during season, I try not to look at it, or I still try not to look at it because I think I'm a people pleaser and I care a lot about what people think of me. But in the long run, it's how your closest friends and your family think of you, how you treat others. And it's always about perspective taking. And I think when you can take a step back and reflect and just think about the opportunities that you have, then I don't know, things just don't seem as big in the moment as they actually are. Perspective taking and just being able to take a step back kind of helped with those things.
It's so interesting to hear you say that. And like, I just want to be clear in the way that I'm going to like relate us together for anyone listening and for you, Morgan, I'm not trying to say we were at the same level of play. I just feel like in similar situations, like being a libero in the Pac-12 conference, like you were the best by far. And then for someone like me, I was not on a scholarship. I did not have the high school accolades. If I went online, which sometimes I did, it would be like, oh, USC like doesn't have a strong libero position. USC's got to get someone in libero position. Like, and like my biggest anxiety was I'm so not good enough to be wearing this jersey for this team. And like would just think, oh, to be a Morgan Hentz, to be a Taylor Formico, to be an Amanda Benson, those players that just play like they don't give a fuck, like for lack of a better word, and they're just going to ball out. So then to hear you, one of those people, say like, I was afraid to look online or I was anxious before games, it just really puts into perspective how like no matter where you think you are on any certain spectrum, everyone deals with self-doubt.
Most definitely. And by the way, you were a freaking incredible libero.
Morgan, you're just being nice because you're on my podcast.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. It's the truth that you're a great libero and a great teammate. I like always remember watching USC and seeing you celebrate your teammates. I always found that so awesome. I don't know. It's just awesome when you see other people celebrate each other's successes. But self-doubt is, I think, totally normal, especially I feel like social media is like you start to compare yourself all the time to what other people are doing. And I feel like I did that a lot. And then I would have to remind myself, you know, that's not really a healthy habit. Like you're not them, you're you. You have your own unique differences and you just kind of have to accept those and go back to controlling what you can control.
You mentioned in the beginning that you are hard on yourself. And then you mentioned like a few comments about, you know, whether it was a little voice in your head about like how many digs did you get that set or whatnot. Do you think that a large part of like your success initially was holding yourself to a really high bar? Like I understand now, like being adults, being graduated, we can look back and say, you know, I should focus on these things and this is what it's about. But in the moment, like how much of that did consume you? And honestly, a lot of it can contribute to being a fierce, successful athlete, right? It's like that drive to be perfect.
Yeah. I think at the beginning, I think those high standards that I was holding myself to were great for practices and performing at a high level. Do I wish I would have led maybe a little bit more balanced of a lifestyle? And like, it's yes, because at the end of the day, like I think about being in season, and when you're in season, you're in season. I think you're going to have that time out of season to have a little more fun, hang out with your friends, get to go out and explore and do more things. But in season, I think I was not only me, but my team were just laser focused. They're like, here are our goals. We've set them and we want to achieve them. Let's do everything we can to do that. And to do that, we set high standards. We had team rules. We had expectations for practices and what we wanted to do. But at the same time, we're also goofballs in practices. Like when someone would do something stupid or get hit in the head with the ball or like fall on their butt or trip, like everyone would laugh. Like I think we ended one practice because there was a short serve. It like clipped the tape and someone accidentally, like she was already on the ground diving for the ball and she passed it with her butt. And people couldn't recover after that because it was really funny. So there were high standards, but it was also good to just be able to laugh and be like, no mistakes happen.
That is hilarious. Those moments are always the most fun. I want to hear this nitty gritty though about like what it was like when you guys set this goal, because you guys won the national championship 3 times, like at least in your era, and the Pac-12 championship, and you were 3-time libero of the year. Like what were the goals and then how were they upkept? Because I think every single team I've been on at the start of the year, you have a little powwow, we're going to be the best. And then slowly somewhere down the line, it just doesn't happen. So what was it that kept you guys for 3-4 years? I mean, because you guys could have won it 4 years in a row. But what was it? Was it a mix of all these players? Did you guys have every single week check-ins? I mean, did you not watch TV in the locker room? Like, what went into that mentality as a team?
Yeah. So at the start of the season, we got together as a team and we talk about our team goals. And we kind of list them out. And then we kind of made a binder. Like my freshman year, we had a pyramid of like things we wanted to achieve. And, you know, it's good to make that list, but you're right. Like talking about like the tangible items, like how can we see this every day? And we just talked about expectations for practices, like competing at a high level. And then with each team, it's different. You know, you have a different set of people each year. And so one of our big things was just getting to know everybody as a person first, and then like kind of as an athlete second. In preseason, for my last 3 years, we would go on little mini like partner dates with someone on the team, just so we could go out to dinner, have a conversation with them one-on-one, just to get to know them. And I think that was huge in creating team chemistry. And I think team chemistry is really important in making sure that everyone feels like they have a role on the team. And then I think 1 year we did marbles, which just sounds really weird, but we got this little container and then just a bucket of marbles. And when at the end of each week, we would say what someone did well. So I was like, okay, Jenna, I loved your serve this week. I thought you were really focused. I know you were working at, like, here's a marble for you, or like just a marble for everybody.
She did have a gnarly serve.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, and then I think junior year we did like cards for each other. Like everyone had like almost a little cubby box. And when we saw someone do something well that they were working on, or we just knew they had a tough day, we'd be like, hi, I'm here for you. Like, love you. You're the best. And like put that in their little cubby. And then at the end of the year, we got to read all of those, just small things, like tangible items, not just setting these huge overarching goals and then not talking about the steps to get there. I think we did a good job about talking about the steps to, you know, achieve our big goals.
On the same note as team chemistry, watching you play, I mean, you're digging balls in right back, in middle back. Like, I could see how on like any other team, there might be discussions of, do you not trust me? That was coming right at me. Like, what was it about you and your play and then the girls you played with that like allowed you to pretty much have absolutely no boundaries and like that to not cause conflict? Because I at least knew as a libero, like, you almost want to be the one who can cut people off and do all those things and no one cares because they're like, great, you're the libero. But then there's certain players who are like, you're literally in my lap, or that was coming. Like, how did you navigate that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There are definitely times where someone would be like, I'm right there. And I'm like, sorry. But I think it's just talking about it, you know, like having those conversations with teammates. And there were plenty of tension. There was tension sometimes to be like, hey, like I would ask, you want me to take this scene for you? Or then they might say, okay, yeah, I'm there, I've got it. Or, but then the other way around, they might say, hey, Morgan, I need you to take this scene. So it was just having that open dialogue about those things. I think when there was a mishap or a miscommunication and we didn't talk about it, then we let things fuel up, and that wasn't healthy and it wasn't productive for our team. So I think just talking about it, or talking about what we're seeing on the other side of the net, I think that was really key. I would talk about what I was seeing, and then I would ask other people about, hey, what do you see from this hitter? Or what do you see on the other side of the net? So I think just talking through, you know, crossing with each other and who's going for what ball, I think that was really important.
And when you did have those points of tension where like someone was like, yo, I can take this ball, how did you not let that get into your own head of like, oh, should I go for this and should I not go for this?
Yeah, there were times where I would hesitate or be like, oh, like they just said they had that. And even though like I feel like I could get there or go for it. And I think at the end of the day, like when you clarify those crossing paths, or when you just have clarity with that person, then you feel like you don't have to hesitate. So I think it was just, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to go, force yourself to go. And then hopefully you guys see each other and can kind of cross. There were definitely times where we would bump into each other or things like that. But I think everybody was okay with that we were going for the ball. As long as everyone was going for the ball at the end of the day, like, how can you be bad about that? Like, you're just trying to keep the ball off the ground, and that's the goal of defense and big goal in
the point of the game.
Yeah, it's the point of the game. So I think when we were all on the same page, we're like, keep this ball off the ground, like those points of tension would fizzle out.
On the same note of your play, just watching you, it's evident like you're always moving. And this is such a volley nerd question, but I have to ask. You're always moving. I don't think I ever like see you standing in like quote unquote base and like waiting to make a move, which is interesting because I feel like my whole career I was being told stop moving, stay in base, like wait to make a read. I mean, Did you ever have a coach tell you that? And were you just like, screw you, this is how I play? I mean, like, how did you navigate that? Because you're just always moving and taking so many steps.
I've been told to get stopped so many times, more times than I can count. And especially my freshman year coming to Stanford, I remember being pulled into the coach's office. Like, we were going through video together and they're like, you're standing outside of the boundaries of the court. You like should not be there. And once I saw that, like, I didn't realize I was doing it until I got to college, or like how much movement I was doing. Yeah. And then I continued to watch once video became a bigger part of like the game, the college game. I was like, okay, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But for me, when I'm like completely stopped, I feel kind of stuck in concrete. So I kind of came to an agreement with like coaches, just be balanced on contact. So like whenever someone's hitting a ball, if it touches the block and sprays off, if I'm leaning one way, it's going to be really hard for me to react in that other direction. But if I'm at least balanced, like I can still react really well. So instead of like, I asked my coaches if they could talk to me about being more balanced than being stopped just because of the way I felt. Like I really, like I, and there are times where like, I feel like now, like I try to tell myself, settle your feet down. Like you're definitely moving too much. I think like good eye work helps with that. Like as soon as the ball is released from the setter's hands, like immediately getting your eyes on the hitter. But yeah, being balanced for me, it was like the key word. And I think that helped slow down my feet a little bit. But yeah, there are definitely times like I've watched video and the ball wasn't even hit my direction and my feet are like, I'm doing an Irish jig. So
that's hilarious because I feel like that's how I naturally would play too. And I just was so moved in the direction of not moving. And it's like, you're kind of scared to say, oh, I prefer to do it this way because these people are professionals and they're your coaches and they're better than you. And then they're showing me footage of Kayla Banworth on the USA team. Now she's not moving and I shouldn't move. And so it's tough, but I love that you pushed back and you kept moving and clearly it worked for you. And I wish I could have gone back in time and been like, I like my happy feet.
Yeah, it is happy feet. And I don't think volleyball has to be played one way. Like that's my opinion. And coaches have obviously done more studying of volleyball than anyone else. But you know, like being on the court, you kind of get that like natural instinct or that feel. I don't think things are black and white in volleyball. I think they're gray and people can do things in unique in different ways.
Here at Real Pod, you all know we love to talk about therapy. We love it. All the guests talk about it. I talk about it. Talking to someone can be so powerful and so helpful when it comes to our mental health and anything that we're struggling with. However, sometimes it's not easy to find the right therapist. You don't know who to call. You don't know where to start. And also sometimes it's very expensive. That's why I'm so excited that BetterHelp is a sponsor of this podcast because they're making therapy accessible and affordable. I have been feeling so stressed recently. I mean, I have just been all over the place physically and mentally. And I realized I need to stop. I need to press the pause button and I need to talk to someone. And look, stress can show up in all kinds of ways. And in a world that's always telling you to do more, sleep less, grind all the time, this is your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try therapy. I mean, I went to one session last week and I already felt so much clarity being like, ah, okay, that's my problem. If you guys listened to my episode called I'm Going Back to Therapy, you'd know that too. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to or go in person. You can do this from the comfort of your home. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start talking to someone in just under 48 hours. Since this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, RealPod listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/RealPod. That's BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/RealPod. So head to BetterHelp.com/RealPod today. So what's your mindset like on whether it's defense or serve receive? And what's that inner dialogue specifically? I know personally, I had to say things to myself like, I'm the shit. Like I'm the best there is. Even if I didn't think that, I had to convince myself that was the truth to just get in the zone.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what the actual best said to herself.
No. I definitely like defense more than I like serve receive. Serve receive, I feel like there's almost too much time to think about what's about to happen. And you're like, oh no, it's coming to me. I can totally see them like They're beelining it right at me. I've been shanking the last couple of balls. So for serve receive, it's, I think, creating routine, like, helped me kind of get out of my head, whether it's I wore a headband all the time and I probably flipped it at least 100 or so times a game. And that was like just a part of my routine before getting back into serve receive or the next play. Just kind of like a reset button between in between each point, just kind of, you know, clear your head of whatever just happened in that last play has no effect on this next play. But for serve receive, it was, for me, it was thinking about like attacking the serve, not waiting for it to like get to me. Cause I felt like when I was waiting for the ball to get to me, then I don't know, I was passive, like, which sounds weird for passing, but I wasn't like going after the ball and going to get it and able to create angles. So I was just thinking about being more aggressive and going after it and treating it more like defense. Defense just always felt more natural for me. And I had a coach who's like, you play defense like you're playing offense. Like, you just go get the ball. And I kind of liked when he said that. I was like, oh yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Like, if you just go after it and feel like you're attacking the ball back. So I was like, okay, maybe I can translate that feeling a little bit more to serve receive.
This is like so inspiring. I just want to go play right now. I'm like, I want to go attack the ball on defense. I know. I feel like it's so easy to get caught up in habits of like, I'm just going to stand here and let the ball be hit at me and I'm going to form an angle and like, I'm not going to move my feet through the entire play. And then it's like, you feel like you're deflecting and you're reacting to things and you feel less in control. I think being in control is kind of the vibe I get from like how you want it to feel on those defense and on serve receive.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's hard not to get in like the self-talk mode of like, if you just got served at and you shank, you're like, oh no, you know, it's coming right back to me. I think that's a totally natural feeling. And you have to have that positive self-talk where you're like, yeah, I've got this next one. I know it's coming to me. I'm going to go get it. And I did not have that self-talk for a long time. And it's something like I still work on a lot and have to continually remind myself of. So it's not an easy skill and it's something that takes practice.
It sounds like you have this really genuine love for the game and for improvement and continually getting better. Did you ever have a period in college where like you were over it and you didn't want to go to practice and you questioned like if you wanted to be doing that?
Oh yeah. Almost every other day, honestly. Like when you play a sport in college, you have all your schoolwork that you have to take care of. Like, you want to hang out with friends too. And you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go to practice. And like, it's just a cycle. And I think it's totally normal to feel like, oh my God, this is a lot of work and I'm tired and I just want to go to sleep. But I think I would come back to at the end of the day, I love it because of the people that I'm around and the relationships I've been able to form. And also because I'm just grateful for the opportunity to play. Like, not everybody has this ability to play and be on the court and do something that It still brought me a lot of joy to play. It's fun to compete. I really enjoy competing. So just kind of remembering to be grateful for the opportunities that I have. Like, yeah.
Okay. So it was something that you felt like you could manage yourself. You never were like in a place deeply questioning kind of your overall happiness.
Oh, I definitely did that a lot. Like, whenever I had a really bad practice or where I felt like I had a really bad game. Like, my parents were kind of my outlet. Like, I would call them and I would often be in tears. I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm thousands of miles away from home. Like, I'm playing volleyball. I'm trying to do school at the same time. Like, is this worth it? Like, and they're especially, I felt like my sophomore year, I like really hit like kind of a low point. And I did question a lot, like, is this worth it? Luckily, I was surrounded by some really, really great women, like, who were my second family at school, my teammates, and they got me through that phase along with my parents. Like, they're my rock, luckily. Like, they knew when a call was coming. They're like, okay, here she goes again. Like, she's going to be complaining about this, this, and this. And they just kind of figured out the right things to say to like calm me down or get me in a better headspace.
What did you need to do to get right for those Final Four and national championship games? Like, were you someone who was speaking in the huddle in the locker room, or did you need to focus more on getting your mind right? I mean, the most intense games I ever prepped for were the Elite Eight twice, but like the Final Four and then winning three national championships, I mean, are you truly in the locker room before the game, like just like any other game, play our game, like classic volleyball stuff, or like what's happening there?
So I felt like our team, we definitely create a routine. Like when we're in the locker room, like an hour or so before, a lot of people go over the scouting report. Some people just put headphones on and we're listening to music. For me, I'd like to sit by myself for just a little bit, go over that scouting report, just like know what we were doing on defense, know what kind of serves were coming my way. And then we would all talk about like what we've been through this season, like in a huddle, like we've worked our butts off to get to this spot. Like we know we have the ability to do it. Like I would usually say something in a huddle, and then two other girls would usually say something. And then we would say like, let's do this. Like we would always kind of go with like, we've got nothing to lose. We got to give it our all. Let's play with poise, but let's also play with a lot of fire, a lot of energy. It usually went something along those lines. And then maybe a few cuss words were dropped in there as well.
I would almost think you couldn't even say you have nothing to lose because you guys had like everything to lose. You were like America's volleyball target, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, I know we felt that way deep down, but at the same time, we've definitely felt pressure, especially by senior year. I remember like almost like talking to one of my good teammates, Jenna, by the end, and we were just like, we did it. We feel a weight taken off of our shoulders. Like it's a huge relief. Because we did feel a lot of that pressure, but I think going into that match, like you have to, you know, at the end of the day, like you have to go back to, did I give it my all? And if you did, like what more can you ask for from yourself? And so I think just, we knew we had amazing talent. And if we just played like ourselves, we would be okay.
That is so sick that your senior year, you know, like everything worked out the way that you guys had been working for following that match and the season ending. Did you know what was next for you with volleyball? I feel like everyone everywhere was like, Morgan, everyone wants to see you in a USA jersey, like winning an Olympic medal one day. Like that was the people's dream. But didn't you, you were not 1000% keen on playing professionally. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like I had no idea what I wanted to do in college. And my brain wasn't going to that next step yet. I was like, oh, up here. I don't know why. I was like, oh, like life ends after college. I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about the future. That was an issue. But yeah, I wasn't so sure like what volleyball would look like for me post college. And then the more I learned about it, I learned like there is an option to keep playing like after college. A lot of girls go overseas to play. So that like, as soon as that ended, I was like, oh, I really need to start thinking about this stuff now and start planning. But it wasn't always, you know, a goal of mine to keep playing after college. And then when I really reflected upon it, I was like, oh, I cannot see my life without this sport right now. Why not keep playing it while it's still bringing me a lot of joy and, you know, this feeling of accomplishment. And then when I don't have those feelings anymore, like it's time to hang up the jersey.
So then right now, where are we at with playing? You are playing professionally. I hear you joined AU. Tell us everything.
Yeah. So I played 1 year in Germany. It was a team in Dresden. I went in August of 2020. So like right in the midst of COVID. So that was a bit strange.
And how did it go?
It was really tough because it was honestly very isolating because it would just be going from your apartment, gym, and just being in a country where you don't speak the language. I didn't know a lot of German. I tried to learn a little bit, but was not really great at learning it. Some, like we were in Eastern Germany, so a lot of people's second language was not English, especially anyone over the age of 30. So it was really hard. Luckily, the German girls on the team were super nice. And I had some teammates actually from Stanford that were on the team as well. So that helped. But it was hard being away from friends and family for 9 months, and they didn't get to come visit because of COVID, and I didn't get to go home for Christmas or the holidays, and it felt like a lot to sacrifice at the time. So with this new league being in the US, I really wanted to try that.
Speaking of the league, do you feel like a resurface of emotions of, well, they think I'm Morgan Hentz and I know there's a scoring system with this league. Like I watched a little bit of it last year. Mm-hmm. I had some conversations with the PEC this year, actually. So glad I'm not going because you guys are way too good. But I can relate a little bit to those thoughts of, oh my gosh, like, joining this league again with all these girls I used to play against. And like every week you're statted and ranked on like how good you are. I mean, how are you handling that pressure leading up to it, knowing how cutthroat it is and how good everyone is?
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely nervous. I've been thinking about it a lot. And like when I was in Germany, I didn't get the opportunity to play that much. There was another libero on the team. Like she was on the German national team and she played most of the year and I only got in for like a couple of games and then played kind of a DS role. You have less subs overseas. You only have 6 compared to like 12. So you can't really use like a back row like specialist. And so I'm like,
wait, sorry, quick pause there. I don't know who this woman is and I don't want to discredit her. I just can't imagine someone like actually being better than you. So what was that like for you to not play and be in isolation?
It was hard because I was really like, I felt like I was really trying to work my tail off in practices and prove that like I could be on the court and I could be playing. And she was a fantastic player as well. Like she was super, super solid on serve receive. And like, there was a change between like the molten ball and not the...
Oh yeah. I hate the yellow blue ball. It's worse. I can't pass that on serve receive for my life.
Yeah. And there was a change and I felt like my serve receive was struggling. I felt like I was doing okay defensively, but yeah. So that was not easy. I wanted to play and I had almost like convinced my coach, like we were kind of shared a role. Like I would go for defense and she would go for serve receive just like one game. And that was kind of too much switching. So our coach just kind of made the decision to put it in the other German libero like full time. And so I was just like, okay, like kind of treat like, how can I keep getting better? Like, how can I find ways to like make it onto the court? So it was for me just thinking about it being growing through that process. And it definitely didn't always feel like I was growing. I got frustrated a ton. I was like, what am I doing here? I'm like in Germany, like I'm not even playing. Like, this is crazy. What am I thinking? But I think going back to like, you know, like you're going to grow from this either way. My parents are like, you know what? This is probably the first time you haven't been playing like in your life. Like, I wish you would have experienced this earlier so you would have been prepared for it now. But you know, I did learn from it and I'm glad I did. Yeah. And I think if you take it as like, you know what, I wasn't good enough, like I'm going to quit, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I think it was just trying to figure out ways I could still get better and still grow because I knew that I didn't want to give up on volleyball quite yet.
Got it. And sorry, I cut you off when you were in the middle of your train of thought. You were mentioning I actually didn't play in Germany. So, and then we're talking about the pressure for AU.
Yeah, I am nervous about AU, but I'm also really excited at the same time because of the format. Actually, I think it's like, it's a totally new way to go about playing volleyball and a cool way to play with a lot of different people. So I think it's going to be fun trying to navigate those new situations and learning how to play with different people really fast. And when you're saying about the scoring system, like thinking about your stats and like how well you're doing.
And even the draft picking.
Yeah, even the draft. I've been asking questions to the girls that are already played it. And they're like, you just really need to try not to think about it. Like when you get on the court, just compete. Like compete, have fun, figure out ways to win. They do put an emphasis on like set wins and team wins. That's where you get the most points. So at the end of the day, if like you're trying to win, like, and you're winning, like, great. That's probably where you're going to get your most points from. But I think I'm just really excited to play again. I feel like it's been forever. So I'm just looking forward to competing.
Exciting. Oh my gosh. Well, I cannot wait to watch you kill it. I'm so excited to see. I feel like, you know, the first year was really exciting, but even this year, I feel like they've just completely leveled up in like caliber of player and like attention on the league. So I'm excited, and this will be coming out like right around those first games, first weeks of play. So I'll make sure, you know, we get everyone to go tune in and watch you. Thank you so much, Morgan. It has been so cool to sit and talk with you. You have me all motivated. Like, I want to just like pass service-y right now because I want to attack the ball. It's funny how when you're not playing and you have these conversations, you're like, in theory, it's so fun and it's so easy. And then I get out there and my heart starts pounding and I'm like, what if I shank a ball? What if I miss a pass?
No, I still get that pretty much anytime I'm playing. Like, one of the best pieces of advice I've like ever gotten is like how you think about being like nervous. And someone's like, I got asked, I think before one of the national championship games, our coach at the time was John Dudding. And he goes, are you guys feeling nervous? And everyone's like, yes, like we're terrified. He's like, well, it would not be normal if you weren't nervous. It just means that you care a lot. And I think it being framed in that way was, you know, really unique. It just means that you care a lot and you want to do well. And I never thought about being nervous in that way before.
Totally. That's such a great point. And if I've kind of had any takeaway from this episode, just speaking with you, someone who I would like, you know, idolize and look at, how, you know, how can I be more like that? And then I'm thinking, you're right. Like, I have this imposter syndrome. I have this anxiety. We all have that because we're human, but it's how we handle and we navigate it that makes the difference.
Yeah.
You clearly did it much better than me.
No. Oh my gosh. There were so many times.
I'm just kidding.
No, so many times in college. Like I think one point sophomore year, I was crying like every other day. And just because that's how nervous I'm like, I need to, like, this has to be perfect. This has to be this way. Or like a bad practice would like ruin the rest of my day. And I think letting like the sport like kind of control you that way, like, now I can say these things now, but I definitely in the moment wasn't feeling that way. So, you know, yeah, I don't want to put on a facade and act like things were perfect. Oh my God, in no way were they perfect. And I think probably my roommates were like, stop crying. or they're just like, okay, it's just a sport. There's a lot more to life than volleyball. And that was from my parents. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. So like, just, you know, being able to take a step back and think about things in a bigger picture definitely helped. I constantly needed to be reminded of that.
Definitely. And thanks for sharing all that. It hits heavy coming from you and an athlete such as yourself. So thanks for sharing and letting us all into, you know, your story and what volleyball was like for you and how you're feeling about the upcoming chapter. And, you know, I hope to see you, you know, winning an Olympic medal one day, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. We're just taking it one step at a time.
We're taking it one pro team at a time.
one very baby step at a time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.